ProphecyGod.net.
Hello, Brother Thomas.
Hey, Sister Mary. What you got this time?
Brother Thomas, how is God going to deliver man from death, hell, the judgment, and the lake of fire, and still keep his promise to give man eternal life?
Well, Sister Mary, let's see what we've got so far. I'd like for you to picture a piece of paper, if you would. And on the left-hand side of the paper, I want you to picture a stick figure that represents mankind. And then on the far side of the paper, on the right-hand side, I'd like for you to picture a gift. And underneath that gift, entitle it Eternal Life. And then in the middle of the sheet, I would like for you to put the figure of the cross. Now, the cross here is a symbol of death, because the cross in itself was a instrument used by the Roman Empire in order to penalize or to punish people by putting them to death in the open for all to see upon the cross, even upon the roads and highways of Rome and other countries. Then ask yourself a question, because the very thing, there are actually two things that stand between you, the stick figure on the left, and the gift on the far right, which is eternal life. And the thing that is in the middle that keeps you from obtaining eternal life is death, because that's the punishment for the life that all human beings live here upon this earth, in our sinful behavior. In our sinful behavior, we live a life of hatred and bitterness and envy and strife and jealousy and murder and theft and drunkenness and adultery and fornication and gossip and slander and lying and cheating and rebellious to authority. All these things and many more is the life of the human being. Now, if the human being is to pay for his own sin, full way of life that he lives here upon this earth, he must come to the point of the cross, or he must come to the point of death. And in the scripture it says, for all must die, and then the judgment. So the very thing that keeps man from obtaining eternal life is the thing called the sinful behavior, and also death, because death is the punishment for living such a life that man has chosen. And so man lives his life of hatred and bitterness and jealousy and adultery and fornication and gossip and slander and fussing and fighting. And then comes death. For we will all age and progressively age from day to day, second to second, month to month, day to day that we live. And then we shall die. And according to Luke 16, at the point for which our spirit, our true self, is separated from the body, an angel shall escort us to our proper place. And if we must pay for the penalty of our own sinful behavior, the angel will escort us from our lifeless body, lying upon the ground or in the hospital bed, or in our home on the floor, or in the bed of our bedroom, and shall escort us to the very depths of the ground until we reach the center of the earth, for where there is hot molten lava, for which there is intense heat, for which the scriptures call this place hell. And there is the destiny of all mankind, if he must pay for his own sin, and must pay for the penalty of his own sin. For in the scriptures, in Romans 6:23, it is clear, for the wages of sin is death. And so that must be the price that we must pay for living such a life and sinful behavior towards one another, towards God, and towards circumstances in our lives. And there we shall stay in this place called hell in the center of the earth for it acts much like a jail, until the day of our appointed time, for which in history the world shall come to an end, and history as we know it and time as we know it shall pass by, and the earth shall be done away with, and then all those who are in hell, as they stand condemned and guilty already, shall stand before the great white throne and before God himself to try to answer for all our thoughts, for all the imaginations of our mind, for every word that we have spoken, and for every action that we have done in hatred and bitterness and fussing and fighting and jealousy and strife and adultery and fornication and rebelliousness and disrespect for authority and disobedience to authority and slander and gossip and murder and drunkenness and more. As we attempt to try to excuse ourselves but will not be able to because of the witness of our mind and imagination shall even condemn us, our own tongue shall condemn us as we stand before God. And then from that place, from the presence of an all-holy God, shall we be cast into the lake of fire. And our destiny, for which is for eternity. For the lake of fire shall not be quenched, for it shall burn forever. It shall have a beginning, but it shall not have an end. And there we shall stay, and we shall burn for eternity for the punishment of our crimes. And there shall not be a second chance, nor another opportunity. For the opportunity we have refused when we were alive upon earth. And there will be no way of not having a second chance to obtain eternal life. For what are we saying, therefore? Are we saying that there is no opportunity and that man stands not a chance to grasp hold of the greatest gift that God has ever given, to live eternity and to have a relationship with him forever? Does death stand in the way as an instrument that shall keep man from grasping hold of eternal existence? What is it that God can do? Can God do anything? Can he intervene? Can he remove death out of the way? Is there a possibility? Is there a chance that in some way, in his magnificence, in some way, with all his love and compassion, is there something that God can do to remove that barrier that prevents man from attaining eternal life? That is the question that we must ask as we stand in this dilemma. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 3, and read with me verse 9. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The word promise here is referring to the promise of eternal life, which can be found in Titus 1:2, as well as in 1 John chapter 2, where it quotes and says that the promise of God is eternal life. Now, let's look at a word that you find oftentimes in Christianity, and the word you hear it often when a preacher is preaching, and that is salvation. Salvation. The word salvation means to keep safe, or it carries with it the word deliverance. What is it that God wants to save us from? What is that element that God is trying to separate us from so that we may acquire eternal life? The word salvation has to do with the simple fact that God is trying to deliver us from the penalty of living that sinful life that we talked about. That salvation is about not being eternally separated from a body that we may continue to live on earth, except God has created another earth and a new heaven. God is trying to save us from going to hell whenever we perish or whenever we die and we're put within the ground. that at the moment that we quit breathing, the spirit, your spirit, the real you, shall be separated from your body and by an angel departed, and you shall be taken to hell if you're not saved from hell. And then God is trying to save us from that day for which we shall stand before him, and he shall therefore judge us because of our sin. And then God is trying to save us from that eternal destination, the lake of fire, the eternal place of punishment, because we live that sinful life and that sinful behavior here upon this earth. Salvation is about setting man apart so that he can be delivered from these things, so that he can be delivered from death eternally, so he can be delivered from hell, so he can be delivered from that judgment day, and so he can be delivered from the hell of fire. That's what salvation is all about. That is what God is trying to do. God is trying, and he has set forth a specific plan so that man may miss death eternally, so that he may miss hell, so that he may miss the judgment, and so that he may miss the lake of fire. God's love and compassion has made a way. And there is a way in which we can step over the gulf of death, hell, judgment, and lake of fire, and where we can actually obtain eternal life. And that promise found in, or that statement about God found in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So what is salvation? Salvation is all about saving man from death, hell, judgment, and the lake of fire, and then helping him cross over that huge gulf, and helping him cross over to where he may obtain eternal life. But if you will continue with us next week, then we shall continue, and we shall see what God's plan is. How was God able to save man from paying the penalty of his own sin so that he may not be separated from a body eternally, so that he may live and have life, and so that he may miss hell, so that he may miss judgment, and so that he may miss the lake of fire? God did have a plan, God does have a plan, and God did set it forth. And if you'll join us next week, we'll see exactly how and what God did in order to save man from that destiny. So, Sister Mary, if you'll come back next week, we'll continue and pick up where we've left off. ¶¶